we have Aaron Lakoff, who is coordinating the 10th anniversary of the Homelessness Marathon, a 14-hour national live radio marathon that takes place from dusk till dawn on the streets of Montreal, right outside the Native Friendship Center in Montreal, and on streets across the country. Welcome, Aaron.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. I'm actually just sending an email right now to a radio station in Chateauguay, seeing if they will rebroadcast the marathon. We're still confirming stations at this point. We have 38 and counting in pretty much every corner of the country. So it's exciting. There's a lot of work.
So for those who are new to the Homelessness Marathon who are tuning in tonight, why not give a brief history of the marathon and explain exactly what it is?
Yeah, sure. So the Homelessness Marathon was started in Canada by CKUT in 2003. So, you know, this will be our 10th anniversary of doing it. It was inspired by a homelessness marathon of the same name in the United States, which basically has a very similar format to ours. They're having their 15th anniversary this year. The two marathons used to happen actually right at the exact same time in February. The one in the States just got moved actually this year to November, early November, because they want to actually have an impact on the American elections, which is really interesting. So, you know, the principle of the Homelessness Marathon is it's a 14-hour live radio broadcast on housing and homeless issues. We do it live from the streets of Montreal. So we take our equipment right out into the cold at the corner of Saint Laurent and Ontario. So it's right in front of the Native Friendship Center, and we do the whole program kind of in collaboration and cooperation with the Native Friendship Center. We've been collaborating with them, I guess, for about the last 8 years or so. I believe 2005 was the year we moved to the Native Friendship Center. The first 2 years of the marathon, we did it at Café dans la Rue, which is was kind of the headquarters of L'Itinéraire. They've since moved, but they used to be at the corner of Amherst in Ontario. So let's see the history, right? Okay, so if we go back to the early 2000s in Montreal, there was an intense housing crisis that had just started here, I guess spurred on by a few things, but one of the aggravating factors was gentrification in the city. So if you look back to around that time, the early 2000s, I couldn't say which year exactly, but the city started to rezone some areas, taking traditionally industrial areas and making them into areas that were open to be residentially zoned now. So a good example of that is St. Henry and, of course, the Lachine Canal. Around that time period, you had the Lachine Canal, which was reopened for boating. So yuppies with their yachts and fancy little boats could start going on the Lachine Canal. What it also meant was that, you know, you take a community like St. Henry, which has been for over 100 years a very working class neighborhood, and it opened up to all this condo development. You have $1 million condo developments going up along the Lachine Canal. Now, I should mention that, you know, this wave of gentrification was not met without resistance. There was very intense resistance against the gentrification of these working class areas. And I think that's so important to mention, because I think all too often when we talk about homeless issues, when we talk about housing issues, we paint people as victims, and people are definitely not victims in this city. People fight against the encroachment of the rich and the encroachment of this kind of yuppie way of life in our communities. And so around that time, you had also Claque Logement, the anti-capitalist convergence, working a lot with Popir, which is the Housing Rights Committee in St. Henry, to really forcefully fight against these condo developments, try to stop them from happening. You had neighborhood council meetings where you had condo developers being shut down. You had people going to City Hall to try to interrupt and speak from the floor of City Hall. You had people occupying the Bureau des Ventes of these condo development projects. So it was a really intense struggle. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of those fancy condo developments did go up, which are driving rent rates up drastically, not only in St. Henry, but you're seeing this now in so many different poor working class neighborhoods across the city. So around that same time period as well, early 2000s, I believe it was the summer of 2001, if I'm not mistaken, you had a huge squatting action happen here in Montreal called the Overdale Squat. And this is actually the same summer that similar squatting actions were happening in other Canadian cities. So you had the Woodward Squat happening in Vancouver. You had the Pope Squat happening in Toronto, which was made to coincide with the visit of Pope John Paul II. When he came to the city to say, okay, well, if the eyes of the world are going to be on the Pope and on Toronto, we're going to kind of use that attention and that momentum to take over a building and to demand social housing be created. So a similar thing was attempted in Montreal. And, you know, homeless people, anti-poverty activists and their allies went and took over a building around the Concordia campus on Overdale and took it over for about a week and demanded that the city turn it into social housing. What happened is very dramatic. Pierre Bourque, who was the mayor of Montreal at the time, he made a deal with the squatters. He said, okay, we'll move you to another squat that's kind of, you know, not really in the center of the city, because you also have to kind of remember too that whenever there's a large anti-poverty action that happens, like right in the middle of the downtown core, and when you take poverty, which is so often like swept under the rug, and you shove it back in people's faces, you know, there's this tendency to say, oh no, go back to your place, you know, be quiet, all you anti-poverty activists, we don't want you to upset the tourists, especially in the summer too, when you have like millions of tourists coming into Montreal. It doesn't look good with a lot of homeless people taking over buildings. So Pierre Bourque moved all the squatters after about a week to the Préfontaine squat, which is kind of in the eastern part of the plateau, and said, okay, we'll give you this abandoned building and we'll see, like we'll negotiate. Maybe at a certain point it could be turned into social housing. Of course, you can never really trust politicians in these instances. They're liars more often than not, and Pierre Bourque is no better than many of the others. And, you know, a few months later, I believe it was around October, all the squatters got violently evicted from the Préfontaine squat by the riot police. But that was not the end of that story. You know, what happened was that after that squat, of course, you know, CKUT at the time had reporters on the ground, and Gretchen King, who is the former news coordinator at CKUT, met up with some of these squatters because she'd been covering the squat actions, and, you know, talked with a few people there and said, it's not right that... you know, homelessness is ignored most times of the year in the media, and that we need to have media institutions that will kind of be spaces where homeless people can accurately express themselves and represent their issues. And so with that in mind, we started up the Homelessness Marathon in 2003 with some of the squatters from the Overdale Préfontaine squats. And again, you know, inspired by the American Marathon with this idea too, you know, I think it's really interesting that we do in February because, you know, February is still very much winter in Montreal, although these days with global warming, it's changing. I don't necessarily think that's a good thing, but it might have some sort of an impact on freezing deaths. Which is positive anyways, to be debated. We do it in February because typically you only really have coverage around homeless issues around Christmas, and it's very much within the optic of charity. And the Homelessness Marathon is trying to break that optic and to say that, well, no, look, like February, we're 2 months after Christmas. It's still very much winter. People are freezing in the streets. And in a way, you have to kind of like shake the rest of Canadian society to wake up and to almost like, I don't want to say force people, but we're trying to provoke a deep reflection in this, in the sense that it's 14 hours, it's a long time, but we're saying, look, it's so easy for the rest of the year to ignore homeless people, right? You walk down the streets of Montreal, we all do this. I mean, I'm very much guilty of this myself, right? We pass by homeless people without thinking about them and their lives and the fact that there's 30,000 homeless people in this city. And, you know, we're saying that, you know, for one night, we're trying to make those voices unignorable and to really empower people to take the mic and to represent themselves.
So for those listening who are interested in learning more about the Overdale Squat, as I understand it, the first hour of the marathon, there were people who were actually involved in the squat kind of reflecting on that, giving more of the backstory and the history and saying where it's come since. And so, Aaron, this is the 10th anniversary of the marathon. What do you see as the focus or the relevance this year? And maybe what have you seen? Like, what do you see as the changes that have happened in the past 10 years?
Mm-hmm. So the overall focus of the marathon this year is, because it's our 10th anniversary, we're going to be reflecting back on, like, the last 10 years of the marathon, but really on, you know, what has changed, what hasn't. So yeah, as you mentioned, for the first hour, we're going to have a guest, Catherine Fortin from the Comité des Sans-Emplois Montréal Centre, who helped to organize the Préventaine squat. Another person, another squatter there by the name of, oh, I don't have their name here, but yeah, anyways, other squatters who are there, who are going to be reflecting on their experience there, because I think that's such an essential part of Montreal's recent anti-poverty history that we need to keep alive. That's going to be kind of an overarching theme. I mean, there's different themes each hour, but in terms of what has changed, what hasn't, I'm not really well positioned to talk about that myself, because, you know, I've never had an experience being homeless. But that being said, I mean, I've been doing anti-poverty work for more than 10 years here in Montreal and in Toronto. And I think that, you know, a lot of people talk about the Harper government, and I know this is kind of a focus of the show, is the Harper government, the conservative majority, and what's happening. And yeah, it's horrible. It's you know, the fact that they're cutting essential services to homeless people, the fact that, you know, there hasn't been any new money put into social housing in Canada or in Quebec in over a decade. It's atrocious. But it's not just the Harper government. I mean, it's any government, like all governments, essentially, from the Tories to the NDP on a provincial level, are so complicit in allowing this shame to continue, right? Like, people talk about homelessness as Canada's shame. And the reason why it is because it's not a natural problem, right? It's not like homelessness is this unavoidable consequence of living in a society. I mean, people have done calculations before that says, you know, if we took our national budget just on 1 year, and devoted 1% of that budget towards social housing, you could permanently solve the housing crisis all over Canada. But there's not a political will to do that. I mean, you still have military budgets in the multi-billions and no more money going into social housing. So I think the you know, people have to think outside the box, right? Like, it's not about elections. It's not about you know, asking our leaders for things. It's also about taking direct action in many cases too. And so I think that squatting actions are incredibly profound and inspiring, because they say, we're not going to wait for our leaders to change the situation, right? We see abandoned buildings with no one in them, and we see homeless people on the streets dying in the cold. Something doesn't add up. And so we're going to take matters into our own hands.
Lastly, there's been a definite disturbing trend in Montreal over the past year, 6 months, of police shootings of people who are dealing with issues of homelessness. That's going to be one of the topics mm-hmm. for the show. Can you talk about that hour a little bit?
Yeah, the cops. What can we say? Well, I mean, it's certainly tragic, right? The fact that there's been two police murders of homeless people in Montreal in less than a year. There was Mario Hamel, who was the homeless man who was killed on St. Catherine Street in broad daylight this past June. And then Farshad Mohammadi, murdered inside of Bonaventure Metro January 6th of this year. I mean, what's really disturbing, and I think that what we're going to try to talk about during the homelessness marathon is the way that the police try to justify these murders afterwards, talking about la personne était aggressive, and, you know, they had a knife, they were it was impossible to subdue them, and so we had to, like, put a bullet in their chest, right? It really, I think for me, it provokes many questions, but one of them is just this, first of all, an absolute stigmatization of people with mental health problems, right? And so if the police are saying it's justifiable to take away someone's life, you know, if they're acting up a little bit, I think really provokes this question of, well, then are all mentally health people out there potential targets of the police? And it's showing us the absolute social cleansing that's happening in the city, right? I think the case of Farshan Mohammadi really brought that to light, in the sense that homeless people in the winter have no choice but to go into the metros for warmth. In so many cases, they can't go into cafes. You know, they can go into shelters and soup kitchens during some periods of the day, but more often than not, you have to go into the metro. It's a matter of survival. And so therefore, if we lived in any kind of sane society, we would say, of course, well, it just makes sense to have like homeless people hang out and get warm in a metro station. But there's STM cops and there's city cops who just go and are nonstop harassing homeless people who are inside the metro stations. I mean, you can see this any day if you take the metro. It's just so obvious. And you know, Farshan Mohammadi was in the metro station. The police stopped him. And then by different witness accounts, he was actually trying to get away from the police while he was killed. So why did they have to put a bullet in his body to take that man's life away? These are questions that, you know, we need to be asking. We need to be pressing the police, because there's just horrible... horrible instances of police inaccountability and impunity in this city. And I think that police brutality issues are anti-poverty issues, and are ones that not only touch homeless people, but really touch all of us in so many ways.
Can you lastly just give us the details? How can people tune in online, on the radio, or even come down to the space to join the broadcast live?
Mm-hmm. So, of course, the Homelessness Marathon is going live to air this coming Wednesday, February 22nd. We're starting at 5 p.m. sharp, and we carry throughout the night until 7 a.m. the next morning. So, of course, you can listen here on CKUT. Excuse me, if you're in another city, I mean, as I mentioned before, we're broadcasting on 38 stations coast to coast right now. So you can also tune in for certain hours on Radio Centreville, a sister station of ours here in Montreal, CJLO, which is Concordia's radio station. And if you go to ckut.ca/homeless, you can see the whole list of participating stations across the country. There's a toll-free number that people can call in. Maybe if you want to grab a pen and write this down, if you want to actually participate by asking questions yourself, or commenting, ranting, whatever, we welcome it all during the marathon. So the number to call is 1-866-594-7729. I'll just repeat that. It's 1-866-594-7729. And then, of course, everyone's welcome to come down to the Native Friendship Center to take part in person. We're going to be having a big community meal, so there should be food and coffee there all night. And of course, jump on the mic. There's going to be an open mic at midnight. So if you have instruments, if you have anything to say, just come down at midnight or do call in. And of course, yeah, you can go online. ckut.ca/homeless is the website.
I've been speaking with CKUT's Aaron Lakoff, who is coordinating the 10th anniversary of the Homelessness Marathon, a 14-hour national live radio marathon.